called out the children of Israel, and he got them to sign a contract, a covenant, the old covenant. But they didn't follow it. But they promised God that they would. When God gave them that covenant, they said, "We will do all this." And then they didn't do it. They didn't follow it. So God the Father, then he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, and he came and walked. So God the Father, God the Son, they ended up crucifying him on the cross, and then he sent the Holy Spirit. And then they were preaching about the Holy Spirit, and they stoned Stephen. So the nation of Israel rejected all three parts of the Trinity there. And that's when God turned to the Jews and the Gentiles in one body, the body of Christ. I think we left off at, we need to pick up tonight at verse number 19, I believe. James chapter 1 and verse number 19. Get over there. James chapter 1, verse number 19. And verse 19 through 25 is going to provide a lot of good spiritual application for the child of God today. And in these verses, it's going to show a person, or how a person should conduct themselves after they get saved. And so we're going to look at some of this. Now, again, we're dealing with the Jews during the tribulation time period, and this is how they're going to have to conduct themselves. It's going to be a part of their salvation process, and these are things they're going to have to do. But it's good spiritual application for anybody in any age on how to conduct themselves as a Christian. So verse number 19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." All these rioters and Hollywood people need to listen to this verse. They're just shooting off of the mouth and have no clue what they're talking about. I heard this morning of a lady she's in her 70s, and she'd been married to her husband for 20-something years. And because he thought about voting for Trump, he didn't even vote for it. Did you hear about that? Okay, so he just thought about voting for Trump. And his wife just could not handle the thought of him voting for somebody like Donald Trump, that they ended up separating over it. They've been married for 20 years. And when they interviewed her and asked her, she said, "I don't know how he could think about..." He didn't even vote for him. He wrote in the Libertarian. But she said that the fact that he could even think about voting for somebody like Trump, who's a womanizer and all these other kind of things, and just shooting off on the mouth and sounding like she has no clue what she's talking about. But we're living in a day and age when it comes to social media that everybody has got an opinion and they're going to show it off. Everybody does. On all the social media networks, the media has no clue what they're doing. I mean, that they do know what they're doing, but they're wrong. I think it's funny that Trump keeps calling CNN fake news. I'm sure they love that. But when it comes to the child of God and a Christian, they need to listen to what the Word of God says about every situation in their life before just shooting off what they think. Because as a Christian and as a child of God, yes, you know, God's given you a free will and you have an opinion, but if you're a true Christian and a true follower of Christ and the Christian that you ought to be, your answer to whatever question comes along should be whatever lines up with God's Word. The only way you're going to find that is to find out what God's Word says. It's one reason that Sunday school is so important. And, you know, I know sometimes I get to teaching stuff that's a little bit deeper than Brother Heitch does and all that, and you might not understand it all, but stick with it and learn what God says. Because the Bible says that we should be ready to give an answer to any man that asketh. And it's not what you think. What does the Bible say? Everybody has an opinion about everything. It's even true at the workplace. You know, that everybody, even the lowest man on the totem pole, has got an opinion now. Man, I don't know. I haven't been working near as long as some of you in here, but it seems like when I first started working back when I was a teenager, you just kept your mouth shut and did what you told. It's different today, man. It's different, but as a child of God, it should be that way. Look at Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter number 8. "Let every man be swift to hear." As a child of God, what we ought to be listening for is not the world, it's not the news, it's not other man's opinion. We ought to be listening to what the Word of God has to say. And I'm here to tell you that the Word of God has an answer for every aspect of your life. This Bible is so amazing. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but it's what I've been dwelling on all week. I'm going to preach this Sunday. My Valentine's message is going to be, I love the Bible. I'm going to preach about the Bible. And I love my Bible. And this Bible is an amazing, amazing book. And man, if you like love stories or war stories or romance or adultery or any of that, you can find all that in the Bible, every bit of it. And it doesn't matter what you're going through in your life, you can find the answers in God's Word. You can find all of it. All right, Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 32. If you're there, say amen. All right, verse number 32. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that what? Heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. So he's telling them here, Solomon here, in all of his wisdom, when God was speaking, he said, hearken unto me. Blessed is the man that heareth me. Hear instructions. As a child of God, you need to get to the point where you be swift to hear, that you hear what God has to say. And that's why I believe, you know, you read your Bible and you get instructions from God when you read your Bible. If you read it every day and you pray before you read, say, God, would you show me something? He'll show you something from His Word. But you have to be able to hear what He has to say. How many times have you read your Bible and had something else on your mind or had some kind of distraction in the background and you got done reading and you couldn't tell what you read at all? You couldn't tell anybody about it because you don't know what it says. You weren't listening with your heart, listening with your mind. It's the same way with preaching. And I believe that preaching is very important. Sometimes you get to reading something and you say, God, show it to me, and He'll show it to you through preaching or through Bible teaching. But as a child of God, we need to listen to what the Word of God says about every situation in our life. And I think that you ought to pray about everything, no matter how small, no matter how big. We ought to pray about it and ask God what He thinks about it, and then be ready to listen. There's too many people that tell God, they might not come out and say it, but their actions are telling God what they're going to do. This is my opinion. This is what I'm going to do, instead of just seeing what God wants. And back there in James 1:19, it says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. A person needs to think about what they're going to say before they say it. And that's common sense. Think about what they're going to say before they say it. If you're still out there in Proverbs, turn to chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10, if you save your place there. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. A child of God ought to be slow to speak. Proverbs 10:19. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. You know what that's saying? If you just keep your mouth shut, you're wise. What's that old saying? I'll probably butcher it. I don't remember how it goes, but it says something like, if people think you're a fool or something like that, but then you open your mouth and you confirm it, or if you just kind of keep your mouth shut, then nobody knows. You know, if you're the quiet guy and they're like, man, that guy must be really smart, because you hadn't said anything. Look at Proverbs 13:3. Proverbs has a whole lot to say about this thing of listening and speaking. Proverbs 13, verse 3. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Somebody goes to run in their mouth, they might end up losing their life over it. Proverbs 15:2. Proverbs 15:2. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. If that's not what's going on with all these writers and people in Hollywood, I don't know what is right there. All right, Proverbs 21:23. But it's not just Hollywood. There's churches and so-called Christians today that run their mouth all the time. They think they know everything. Proverbs 21:23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. That's good advice, is it not? And man, I remember, when I'm younger, having somebody tell you, watch your mouth. you know. Watch your mouth. And it drives me crazy today, man. I feel the heat on my backside when I hear a young person talk back to an adult or to their parents. Because I remember what I went through when I did that. Talking back and running your mouth and you know, my dad never abused any of us kids at all. But I remember he told me when I was a young teenager, probably preteen or right at teen, he said, the day that you think you're old enough to talk back to your mother is the day you're old enough to be knocked to the ground. And he taught us, you do not talk back to an adult. You do, but the day we live in today, man, I hear it all the time. I hear parents telling their kids what they're going to do. You take that over into the spiritual realm, and how many times as Christians does our life tell God what we're going to do? Instead of just listening to what the Word of God says, we're going to follow this because of the Bible. If the Bible, the Bible's going to lay it out for you. It's just whether or not you're going to hear it. And one of the reasons, you know, I used to say this church isn't for everybody, and then Brother Hodge got up and said, yes, it is. This church is for everybody. But the reason why I said that is because we'll never have a huge church because people don't want to hear what the Word of God says. And the Word of God is our foundation of this church, and it will be. And we're going to follow what it says, but if you're not living right, or you know you're not doing right in your life, you're not going to like this book, and it's not going to be very popular at all. But as a child of God, we should listen to what the Word of God says. Look at James 1:26. We're over there in the book of James. James 1:26. James 1:26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Again, dealing with this thing of bridling not his tongue. That tongue is one of the worst, it could be one of the worst enemies and worst problem makers of anything. Is that, I mean, I've seen people just completely ruin their testimony over their tongue. Not long ago, I was at a church and a man came in and things weren't going quite his way, and he was aggravated with the situation, and he completely just went off, you know, just griping and complaining about the pastor and all kind of stuff going on. And this man was a preacher, and he was a preacher in the church. He was one of the lay preachers, but he just went off, and man, I'm telling you, he ruined his testimony in front of a lot of people, all because of shooting off at the mouth. You have to be careful what you, no matter where you're at, whether you're in church or whether you're at Walmart or whether you're at McDonald's or wherever you're at, if you're a child of God, you've got to watch your mouth. You're not your own. You were bought with a price. You belong to God, and you got to watch it when you got to watch that thing. All right, back there in verse number 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. A child of God needs to not become angered easily. Look at Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. Sometimes that's easier said than done. But as a child of God, that's where we're supposed to be. Romans chapter 12, look at verse number 18. If I keep looking at that clock, we're going to be here all night because that's not moving. It's about a half an hour behind. Romans chapter 12, verse number 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So as a child of God, you shouldn't be angered easily. I heard my dad preaching on this one time, and it says, if it be possible, as much lieth in you. And he said, listen, everything you've got, you try to be patient with somebody. And then if that doesn't work, knock their lights out. Because Paul said, as much as possible, as much as life, if you just can't take it no more, then you do what you got to do. But no, a child of God should not become angered easily. If you ever find your place where the smallest little stuff's making you mad, then something's not right. Something's not right with your heart. And you need to pray and ask God what to do to fix that. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. You say, am I never supposed to be angry? No, that's not what I'm saying. You shouldn't be angered easily. Little things shouldn't set you off. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 26. The Bible says here that if you do get angry, it says, Ephesians 4:26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So as a child of God, you ought to be slow to wrath. Everything shouldn't just trigger you. And there it says that let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Whenever my wife and I got counseled by Brother Charlie before we got married, he told us that we should never go to bed mad at each other. He said, you stay up until you work that thing out. He said, don't go to bed. He used that for marriage, but it should be the same thing. Can I tell you, if you're mad or angry at somebody, one of the best ways to get over it is to pray for that person. Get down and genuinely you start praying for them, and God will change your heart. I'm telling you, it will. The Bible tells us to pray for those that despitefully use us. We're supposed to pray for our enemies. We're supposed to pray for our friends. You're supposed to pray for everybody. Every single category that you can think of is found in the Bible that you're supposed to pray for. He said, they're my enemy. Pray for them. The Bible says pray for your enemies. Well, they take advantage of me. The Bible says pray for those that despitefully use you. Just pray for them. And if you start feeling angry towards somebody, a sad thing is there's a lot of Christians that get mad at each other. There's a lot of bitterness, and they're supposed to be Christians, and you're a Christian, and getting mad at each other and angry and end up causing division in the house of the Lord, and it shouldn't be that way, but you do what's right and let God deal with them. You just pray for them and get that thing right. All right, James chapter 1, verse 20. He's going to tell you why you should be slow to wrath, why you should not be angered easily. James chapter 1, verse 20. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. If a person carries out wrath in their own hands, they're going to lose their testimony before other people, and others will not see the righteousness of God. You want to find a way to blow your testimony? Do something to where somebody says, I thought you were a Christian. Now, you know, this world and the devil, they're going to do everything they can to discredit you. They're going to try. They're going to try to get you to do things. When I was working out in the field as an electrician, it became a joke to try to get. They knew I was a preacher. They knew I was Christian. They knew I didn't cuss. They knew I didn't go out drinking. They knew I didn't go out carrying on. You know, I showed up the Monday in my right mind that they didn't even know where they were half the time. But it was a joke to them to try to get me to cuss, to try to get me to hear a filthy joke. It was a joke to them. But as soon as they got in trouble or they needed prayer, they'd pull me aside somewhere and say, hey, I need you to pray for me and my family. Yes, but out in public in front of everybody, they'd laugh about it to try to get me caught up, to slip up. And the world will do that to you. But they're watching you. And if you lose your testimony and you get angry in front of those people, that's the first thing they're going to say is, I thought you were a Christian. And there's no difference between me and them other than the Lord Jesus Christ. If it wasn't for Jesus, I'd be in the same mess that some of them were in. If it wasn't for Jesus, some of y'all would be in that same mess. You know, who's to say I wouldn't be laying downtown at Jimmy Hale Mission trying to find a meal and couldn't take care of my... If it was not for the Lord Jesus Christ and me surrendering to His will and just doing what He wants and letting Him blessing, who knows where we would be. But there's a lot of Christians... I keep saying Christians. There's a lot of saved folk that have lost their testimony, and they are no influence at all to their family, to their friends, or their coworkers because of how they act, because of how they respond to things. And it shouldn't be that way. Our life should reflect the Lord Jesus Christ to everybody that we meet. All right, let's get one more verse here. Look at verse number 21, James 1:21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. So he starts off with, wherefore, lay apart. And what that means is to set aside. So he wants you to set aside, lay apart all the filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and put those things aside. When it says all filthiness, that's talking about the works of the flesh. It's talking about the works of the flesh and the mind. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. The works of the flesh and the spirit. When we talk about the spirit, we're dealing with the mind, the human mind. And I'm telling you that the mind can be a very, very, very wicked thing. It could be absolutely wicked. Back there in the Old Testament, they were doing every evil thing they imagined, and that's what's happening today. Doing every evil thing they imagined. If you knew what was going through people's minds when you walked past a man, you wouldn't want to be anywhere near them. Just everyday person out in public. It's a very, very, very wicked thing, that the mind. All right, 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And that spirit there deals with that human mind. And he says we're supposed to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness. James is saying, set it aside. Set all that filthiness aside. If you're going to be a child of God, this flesh is going to fight against you at every turn. It's going to battle against you at every turn. The devil, he knows exactly what to get you thinking about to get you off of God. It doesn't even have to be sinful sometimes. But he knows all the distracting things to do. And you know, the world knows what to do to get your attention. That's why all these billboards and all these things, they're all drawn to get your mind distracted on something else. And the devil, he'll do it. And he knows what gets you. And he knows what gets me. And he'll place those things there to try to get your mind wandering and to get off of the things of God. And you just got to put that stuff aside. You got to cleanse yourself. So you say, how do I do that? With the Word of God. The washing of the Word of God. Christian fellowship. I preached at Teen Challenge this past Sunday evening, just a few days ago. And I was telling the girls, or the ladies, they're women, that we're supposed to separate ourselves from the world. But one of the biggest mistakes that they make is they go to Teen Challenge and they separate themselves from the world. But then they don't fill that void with anything else. So as soon as they get out, they go right back to what they were doing. They go right back to the drugs. They go right back to the alcohol. And y'all remember the ping pong message? I preached the ping pong message there, and said you need to fill your life up with everything that's godly. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And that's what I preached. I said, you know, you need to get in church. When I say get in church, you need to get in church. Get involved. Stay busy in church. You need to. Every time there's something going on, go to it. You need to give. You need to give of yourself and your tithe and your money. You need to witness. You need to tell others about Christ. You need to pray. You need to read your Bible. And if as a Christian you're doing all those things, there's not going to be any time for filthiness. I mean, if you're like, man, I got to read my Bible. I got to get in here and read. And Lord, I want you to show me something. And you're praying and you're going to church and you're running and doing. There is no time for getting in trouble. I talked to a friend of mine I grew up with in Ohio today on the way over here, and he goes, man, you staying out of trouble? I said, man, there's no time for trouble. I'm wide open. It's every single day. I work, you know, close to 60 hours a week most weeks, and then when I'm not doing that, I'm running the kids somewhere helping them, or I'm studying up in my office at home, and just running all over the place. Got so many irons in the fire, and there's no time for trouble. You know, because as soon as you slow down and you run out of things to do, the devil's like, perfect. Why? Because he can get your flesh doing something you're not supposed to be doing. And he'll do it in a hurry. And so James is telling them, he said, man, you need to lay all that stuff aside. And Paul told him in Corinthians, cleanse ourselves from all filthiness. But not only that, James 1:21, it says, lay apart, set aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. That word superfluity means the superabundance, a greater quantity than is wanted. as a superfluity of water or provisions, something that is beyond what is wanted, something rendered unnecessary by its abundance. You know what that's saying, the superfluity of naughtiness? That's an overabundance of things that the human flesh is capable of performing that's considered naughty. That's a naughty person. He said, you need to put that stuff aside. And you realize that James is writing to these Jews that are scattered. These are Christians that he's writing to and dealing with. But he said, you need to lay that stuff aside. And as a child of God, man, it should go without having to say, but if it's not right, if it's naughty, if it's filthy, you ought to stay away from it. Don't be involved in that kind of stuff. Don't get caught up in it. And if you find yourself in your mind or your body going in that direction, man, turn around and say, we're not doing this. God's been too good to me to do this. He's blessed us too much. So he goes on and says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness. That meekness, that receiving with meekness, carries the idea of humbling oneself down to receive the Word of God. You know what that is? That's, God, I need you. I cannot do this on my own. And can I tell you that no addict of any kind, there's all kind of addicts. There's drugs, there's alcohol, there's pornography, there's work. There's people that are just obsessed with their work and they lose their family over it. There's addicts of all kinds. But no matter what kind of person that is, man, they got to humble themselves down and ask God to help them. If it wasn't for God, I'm sure there's something that the devil could hook you on. And he knows exactly what it is. But they have to bring themselves to a point where they say, God, I need your help. And that's one of man's biggest problems, is saying, I need help. I mean, not just a man. A man doesn't like saying he needs help for anything. He doesn't need directions. I put stuff together before, and Miss Sarah said, where are the directions? I don't even know. I threw them away. We don't need them. We get done and there's parts left over and it doesn't work, and she goes, find the directions and I'll read them. And they don't like asking for directions. But you know, you have to get to a place where you need God, where you need Him every day. And that's why I said here, receive with meekness. Humble yourself down and say, I need God's Word. I cannot do it on my own. He says the engrafted. That word engrafted or graft, it means to propagate by insertion or inoculation, to insert in a body to which it did not originally belong. Before salvation, man, we were nothing but a bunch of low-down dog sinners, just a Gentile sinner. And the Word of God, through the work of the person of the Holy Spirit, was inserted into us that are saved. And after you get saved, man, every day, you know what you got to do? You got to take this word that your flesh wants to push away, it wants to resist, and you got to put that thing in you. I try to listen to preaching all week long. I know I do the preaching here most of the time, but I listen to preaching all week long. Why? I need that word put in me. I listen to Bible reading on my way to work. I get in there and try to read my Bible every day and pray and listen to preaching. And that word, just constantly get that word flowing through there. Why? That's going to help keep me straight. Because if I don't keep that word in there, my flesh is going to take over. The devil's going to find room to get involved. That engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. The Word of God is used by the Holy Spirit to perform salvation in a person's life. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Not only is the Word of God used for salvation when it comes to your soul salvation, where you'll spend eternity, but that Word of God is used as a medicine every day for the child of God to keep you right, to keep you whole. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing sunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That Word of God, not only is it used for your soul salvation, but that's something you need every day to help protect you and keep you from the world, to keep your mind right, to keep your body right, to keep you right with God. I don't know how people go weeks and months without reading their Bible. are getting some kind of Bible. There's so-called Christians that don't even go to church faithfully. Most people, the only Bible reading they ever get is when they get it Sunday morning at church when the preacher says, open your Bible to so-and-so. There's a lot of so-called Christians. That's the only Bible they ever get. And the biblical example and the biblical illustration that it gives to the Word of God being spiritual food is to physical food. And what I tell people is, try eating only one day a week. And usually, sometimes, you know, you got some preachers that they'll get up and preach 30 minutes and they'll preach half the Bible. And I'm not that. I know we turn to verses sometimes, but sometimes I'll just take one or two verses and I'll preach out of those two verses. And that's like you getting you a piece of toast and an apple or something. Amen? All right, so try taking that, and that's the only thing, you know, I probably could use to do that. Amen? Probably wouldn't hurt me to do that. But you just eat that all week. Don't drink any water. Don't eat any other food. And see how you feel the next week, if you're alive. Not drinking any water, not eating no food. Well, spiritually speaking, that's what's going on the inside. So how much should I read? I don't know. Read as much as you eat. You like to eat three times a week? Well, get in there and read some Bible. Amen? Get in there and soak up that spiritual nutrition from the Word of God. Graft that Word into your heart and into your life. And if you do that, I'm telling you, things will be better. Things will be different. And you ought to start off every day, I think, with the Word of God. You say, I can't sit there. I don't have time to read three chapters. Don't read three chapters. Read three verses. Start off every day with the Word of God, putting that thing in you, and get started off on the right foot and watch what God will do. It'll change your entire day. If you've ever done it, it changes your whole day. It changes your outlook. And all these things that James is dealing with here, you won't have to worry about them as much. Dealing with this thing of, you know, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, and getting angered easily. You start off the day praying to God and with His Word, and your day's going to go a whole lot smoother. The days that I don't start off reading my Bible, it seems like the whole day just falls apart. Every time. Everything goes wrong. There's problems on every hand. I'm getting upset, getting aggravated at Sarah and the kids and all these things. And you know what? You know, I figure out, man, I didn't read my Bible this morning. It makes a world of difference. All right, let's all stand. All right, Brother Hunter, will you dismiss us in a word of prayer, brother?